You get an extra donut or a donut hole when they show up in the next meeting. If you could tell me, why we decided to study Deuteronomy? Anybody? Kyle? In fact, that's what caught my attention. A few years ago, I was reading The Temptations of Jesus. He quotes Scripture. I'd always been taught that and never had noticed that he was quoting from Deuteronomy. So it dawned on me, if Jesus used Deuteronomy to help him fight off the devil, if Jesus used Deuteronomy to help him live in a way to please the Lord, his Father, why wouldn't it be good for me? So I wanted us to try it. I wanted us to read through it. I wanted us to discuss it. I wanted us to seek God's wisdom in it and try, basically go to Sunday school. I know it's Sabbath school with you, but a Sunday school with Jesus. I want us to learn what Jesus learned and see if it can't help us. Well, I'll start with me. If it helps you, good. But I help me fight off Satan in my life and keep me confident during troubled and tough times. All right? You're in chapter 4. We're going to read the first 14 verses. We're just going to read them into the record. Read with me, and then you get to teach the lesson. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commandments, the Lord your God, that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor, but all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you the decrees and laws as many as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you're entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when He said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you His covenant, the Ten Commandments, which He commands you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you're to follow in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess. God bless the reading of His word, and let's hold it true. He tells them a half a dozen times, I didn't count, I'm not worried about counting. What does He want them to do? What does He want them to do? From verse 1 to verse 14, what does He want them to do? Simple question. What does He tell them to do? Obey. Give me another word. And use His words as often as you can. Listen. What does He tell them to do?
Teach.
Observe. Keep. Follow. Give heed. Don't forget. Did we run out? Watch yourself. Remember, that was the one I was waiting on. So go ahead and circle it. If you've got a pen, you ought to note it. Hear, follow, keep, follow, observe, remember, don't forget. Ooh, and I forgot, don't add. Teach, follow. Now let's stop there. More than any other commandment given, more than any other emphasis He gave here was the word follow. The illustration's pretty simple for us. these are the Lord's instructions, and he asked those people to follow them. Now, I grew up in a culture that didn't follow instructions, all right? I've got a dad who can do anything serious. He can plumb, he can do electrical work, he's a farmer, he's a truck driver, he's a mechanic. He can do everything. I've seen him he can build a house. I've seen him. I've seen him, and I don't know why that gene missed me, right? Because I can't do any of that. And so, but I watched him forever. When it came time to build something, when mother would bring something home, that Bill, I need you to put this together for me. He would take it out of the box, look at all the pieces, and just start putting it together. Well, when I became a father and it was came time for me to assemble such things, I followed that routine. I saw my dad do it, so I ended up with bicycles that had only one wheel. I ended up with swing sets without swings. I can't do that. I don't have that. Guess what? When it comes to following the Lord, we try the same approach. I've grown up all my life going to church. I know what's right and wrong. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to pay attention to I'm a pretty good man. He says you need to follow the instructions. Now my practice is when I get something to put together, well, let me tell you the truth. When we get something at our house that has to be put together, I give it to Melanie. Because I don't want, even if I follow instructions, I don't do so well. But the point is, now when I have to do something, I make sure I read the instructions. I make sure I read the instructions because I can't wing it. I don't have that kind of skill. Well, the truth is, we can't wing it when it comes to following the Lord. You may think, well, I know what the Bible says, and I love to hear somebody say, I've read the Bible 2 or 3 times. I know what's in the Bible. Did that settle it for you? I had a young man at a Christian college here tell me one time when I asked, I said, well, we need to turn to this verse to read it. He said, I don't need a Bible. I'm a Bible major. Oh, help me. I don't care if you're a Bible major. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you are 140 years old and been to church every Sunday all your life. God said it, follow my instructions. Now tell me, how did he want that done? In those 14 verses, he told us how to do that. There's both a negative and a positive. How do we follow his instructions? What kind of approach does he want us to take? How does he want us to approach this idea of following the instructions? If I follow his instructions, I'm going to learn what he says about Jesus. I'm going to learn what he says about marriage. I'm going to learn what he says about life and death. I'm going to learn what he says about church. I'm going to learn what he says about worship. I'm going to learn what he says about heaven, hell, all those kind of things. If I'm following those instructions, I'll learn from him. But he says two very important things about how he wants us to follow that. There it is. You see it? It's carefully. You follow these instructions. You follow these commands. You keep my words carefully. But he didn't just say it one time. And we've talked about it a jillion times here. If God repeats himself, what does that mean? He's serious. He wants you to make sure you pay attention to it. So he wants us to pay attention, follow the commandments, keep them, follow the instructions, observe them carefully. Now, what do you think that means? I'll let you talk. What do you think that means to do it carefully? To be intentional. Keep going.
Follow his word and not traditions.
To make sure you're following his word and not just tradition. I had somebody ask me something this last week. Said, is that God's word or is that just one of those well-meaning church traditions? They actually said that in the text. I thought, good question. Might be a question worth asking about a lot of things. He wants us to follow the instructions carefully. What else? What does it mean? Intention, make sure it's his word, not tradition.
Life and death.
In fact, that's why you need, and we're going to get to why in a minute, but it's a matter of life and death. Not just for you, but for your children and their children. What does it mean to follow His instructions carefully? Teachers have said it for years. When you finish your test, what do? Check your work. Right? I'd rather go out and play. So I'd answer real quick, run out and play. Then the teacher let me do it again and again and follow His instructions carefully. Because folks, sometimes we don't get it right the first time. Now, is that true of anybody in here? And I'm not talking about building cabinets, and I'm not talking about putting together bicycles. I'm talking about in your life, did you get it right the first time? In your marriage, did you get it right the first time? In any relationship, in any job, in any church, did you get it right the first time? Not me. So I need to do it careful, so I do it the way God wants it done. It's interesting. If we took that approach, what would that do with some of the church issues that tear up churches? Because, man, we go to fussing about this and that and this and that. What if we just backed up and said, I have to tell you what, let's just follow the instructions and let's follow them carefully. But there's another one. That's the positive side on it, if you were going to put it that way, to follow them carefully. There's another side. I'd say it's a I'd put a negative on it because he says it's a don't, and I just gave it away. I hate it when I do that. Do not add. Do not add or subtract. He will tell Moses, who will then tell Joshua, the same kind of instruction, don't turn to the right or to the left. Now, I think it's funny the way we in America especially start dealing in politics. We talk about being right or being left. I hear it now even in church conversations. Well, that church is a little right wing, or church is a little left wing. They're a little progressive, or I mean, it'd be conservative, or it'd be a little progressive. What we do, I want to be neither right nor left. Do you? I don't want to be right or left. I want to be careful. And he said, do not add, do not subtract. You take God's word as it is and you follow it carefully. There was one more do not. Do you remember? Do not forget. I only know of one way to keep from forgetting. Yeah, that's a good one. Aaron said, well, you remember. That keeps you forgetting. If you remember, that's right. How do you remember? How do you keep from forgetting something? Say it. Look at it over and over again. Somebody said, keep talking about it. All right. Keep learning it. Write it down. All of those are good suggestions. Now, God said, don't forget it. Now, are we doing that? And this is not anybody else. We're not talking to anybody else. We're not talking to the second meeting folks, because I'd have to say it a lot to them because they're a little slower than you guys. But I mean, we're not talking about anybody else that's not here. Are we doing that? Are we doing that with God's Word? It's one thing to have a lesson on it. I'm talking, this is what Jesus learned. This is what Jesus learned in His Sunday school class. I know it was Sabbath school. Sunday school sounds better to me, so I'm going to say it. Sunday school class. Jesus kept hearing it over and over again. Do not subtract. Do not add. Do not forget. And that rabbi was, I'm pointing a bony finger at that boy saying, I want you to remember this. You make sure you, how do you remember those things? You think about them. How do you remember things? The things you said are good. Are we doing that though? Do you write down His Word? Now Moses is going to later come and say, you know why? That's why you write it on your sleeve. That's why you write it on the palm of your hand. That's why you write it on the borders of your garments. That's why you put it on the doorpost. Because when you walk into your house, when you look at your clothes, when you look at the palm of your hand, you see God's Word. Are we doing that? Are we? Are we letting, other urgent things take away the things that are really important? He said, follow it closely. And if you're going to do it, if we're going to follow His instructions closely, it means we cannot forget them. We've got to keep reminding ourselves of them. Writing it down is a good way to do that. Meditating on them, thinking about them often is a good way to do that. There's another one we missed, didn't say it, that helps me more than writing it down. Because honest, if I write it down, I'll put the list somewhere and walk off without it. Thinking about it's good, but the way my brain is, I could think about something today and forget that I thought about it tomorrow. But there is one thing that really helps me remember, is teaching it. And He said over and over and over again in chapter 4, in these 14 verses, He said over and over again, teach them, teach them, teach them. Are we? Are we teaching them to our children? Are we teaching them to our neighbors? He said, follow the instructions. And if we're going to sit with Jesus in school and learn like He learned, we're going to have to do that. And then we follow them closely. Last one, last question. In those 14 verses, three or four times, depending on how you want to count it, three or four times He says, here's why. And I love God for this. I mean, it's one of the wondrous things about God. He could just say, do it or else, and that be it. But He doesn't. So often when God gives us a command, He gives us a benefit to us if we do it, which is incredible. He could just say, do it. I don't care what inconvenience it is to you. But what does He say? What are the benefits? See if you can find them. It's 1 through 14. At least four times I found it. At least four times He says, so that, or here's why, it'll be a benefit to you. All right, my brain has to go in order. So let's go to verse 1. I'll direct for a little second, for a time. Follow them so that you may live and may go in the land and take possession that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. So number one reason, the number one reason given here, not necessarily number one above all the others, but number one in number, the reason we need to follow the instructions is why? So we can live, to receive the benefit of His promises. Is the application obvious? Is the application obvious? I don't live under this covenant, no. But this attitude of listening to His words, of hearing His words, of following the instructions and being careful, what will it allow me to do? It'll allow me to receive the benefit of His promises. It allows me to receive the benefit of His promises. God has an expectation of us. He is going to take care of us. He's going to do mighty and wondrous things for us. But He wants us to follow His word carefully. So number one, so we can accept, receive the benefits of His promises. All right, number two, look in verse 5. I taught you decrees as the Lord my God commanded me, so that, here's why, so that you may follow them in the land you're entering to take possession of it. Sounds like the same one, but keep reading. Observe them carefully for this. He's extending the reason. For this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations. Now hang on a second. Why does God want us, think through this. Why does God want us to follow His instructions carefully? Why does He want us to remember them? Why does He want us to meditate on them? Why does He want us to teach them to others? Why? What's one of the reasons? So it helps us get wisdom. Keep going. It helps other people see these are a wise and understanding people. Now, why does He want us to be seen as a wise and understanding people? Say it. One more time.
So people will be attracted to Him through us.
Because we are His representatives in this world, and when they see that wisdom in us, guys, it'll happen. They will ask you, how did you get through that tough time? What is it that makes you content with life? I'm around you and I see you as at your calm and at peace with your life. How do you do that? Where do you get that? And it gives you a chance to do what? Oh, somewhere I wish somebody had written that that's you give the reason for the hope that is in you. And if it's not in your Bible, there's a blank spot in 1 Peter 3. You can write it in there yourself. Or how about in Titus, the second chapter, when he said, the reason you do these things is so that you can show forth the beauty of God's Word. God wants people to see Him. God wants people to see His wisdom in us. Why? So they can come to Him as well. Because He's not going to show up on a mountain anymore. He's not sending any more doves down to reveal things. How does He reveal things now? Through His Word. We read it last week. Through the church. People are looking for hope. People are looking for help. People are looking for comfort. People are looking for courage. People are looking for confidence and life. They're looking for solutions. They're looking for answers. Where does God want them to find them? Where does God want them to find them? In us. Now, not the point of the lesson, but I got to make this point right here. Got to make this point before we go on. If I am a hateful, judgmental, standoffish, critical, arrogant, narrow-minded, I don't want anything to do with anybody that doesn't live up to my expectations, person. How many of those people are going to find the wisdom of God? They won't. In fact, we have seen it. We've done it. We have put people off because we didn't agree with them. We put people off because we couldn't approve of them. And we, instead of thinking about approval, instead of thinking about agreement, we should have been thinking about accepting. We accept folks for who they are, no matter where they've been and no matter who they are. Because in that kind of acceptance, they see in us a wisdom of God that will do what? Then what it'll do? It'll attract them to you. I want to know the God that taught you that. I want to know the Jesus that gave you that. All right. Number three. Look at verse 9. Be careful and watch yourself closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Now, that's a preface to what he's about to say. Why does he not want me to forget them? Of course he doesn't want me to. He wants me to live, yes. He wants me to receive the benefits of his promises. Yes, he doesn't want me to forget because he wants people to find his wisdom. But look at the next one. Why does he not want me to forget them? I want you to teach your children and their children after them. Now, folks, when God repeats something, what does it mean? He's serious about it, and He's going to repeat this. He's already said it from chapter 1 to chapter 4. You ought to count how many times He's already said, teach your children. Now He's added something else. Teach your children and teach their children. But if you'll read on, what you're going to get, the impression is, it's not just teaching them. That's easy enough to do. Take them to Bible class and make sure they sit there in Bible class and listen to that teacher. And then when you get them out of Bible class on the way home, ask them, well, what did they study in Bible class? And you, that you're done? No. You're to teach your children. Well, I don't know everything that that Bible class teacher knows. I got that. She studied the lesson. You didn't. She may have been around studying the Bible a lot longer than you. Oh, got that. So you take them, make sure they're always there, but then you do what you can do to teach. Well, if you do what you can do and they do what they can do, what's going to happen? You're going to have done what God asked you to do. But it's not just making sure you did the job. Teaching doesn't take place until learning takes place. You may have said it to your kids, but do they remember it? You may have said it to your children, but do they remember it? and it hit me like a ton of bricks. You know what God expects of me? All my kids are grown. All my kids are grown. And I did, I believe, at least the best I could have done at that moment, or I tried to do the best I could do at that moment, to teach them His Word and to teach them to live like Jesus. I'm not claiming any success, you understand. But I tried. But that's not the end of this, to teach them and their children. We make a sad mistake, if we turn over the instruction of our children's children to just the parents. No. What are parents dealing with? What are parents having to deal with? And I'll let any parent talk. Now, if you're not a parent, shut up. I say that kindly, of course. What are parents having to deal with?
Peer pressure.
What are parents having to deal with?
Bullies at school.
What are parents having to deal with?
Getting the kids to and from school.
What are parents having to deal with? Paying the bills. What are parents having to deal with?
Their parents.
Yeah. That's more honesty there than me being able to admit. Of course, yours aren't here, so you can get by with saying that. What are parents having to deal with? I don't know why. Has this not occurred to you? You're having to make sure they eat their beans. You've got to make sure they brush their teeth. You've got to make sure they get to bed at the right time. You've got to make sure that they don't kill each other in the pillow fights. You've got to make sure you've got all these things to take care of. And you've got all of those things, plus all your parent things, plus all your friends' things, plus all your church things, plus all your own heart, soul, and body issues yourself. Is it easy for parents to become distracted and take care of a million things that they've got to take care of and to do it well, but to forget what matters the most? Happens all the time. Guess what parents ought to get to do? Grandparents ought to be thinking about taking care of what might get left. I love being a grandparent, but it's finally dawned on me. I think I knew it, but it just never hit me like it hit me just about a year ago. It dawned on me. I think when my mother passed away, it dawned on me. I got to make sure that I've taught my grandkids, not just my kids, my grandkids. My kids, the parents, are so busy and so distracted and so challenged. But what about granddad? They don't need another toy, y'all. Grandparents, they don't need another trip. Bless your hearts, they don't need another frilly dress or fancy tennis shoes. You know what they need? They need a grandma and grandpa to sit down and say, listen, I need to tell you something. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I'm going to tell you something. Because who would they listen to better? Mama, who says all those things every day, or grandma, who says it when she sits them down, makes them their pie, and has a word with them? Our responsibility is to teach those children. We don't want to forget His words. We want to follow His instructions so that we can teach His word to our children, but not just our children, to our grandchildren. Now I'm going to say this and then I'll hush. It's not about just saying you taught them. It's not just giving a test to make sure they learned them. I am not going to be satisfied with me teaching my children and or my grandchildren until they can do what? Teach somebody else. Because they haven't learned it unless they're teaching somebody else. Does that make sense? Because if teaching is a part of remembering it, if my kids aren't teaching it, then they're not remembering it. If my grandkids are not teaching it, then I'm not remembering it. Does that make sense? That's enough. If we sat in school with Jesus, that rabbi would insist that we lay these words up in our heart, and he would push us to follow the Lord's instructions and to follow them carefully and not to add to them and not to take away from them. Turn either to the right or to the left. But he would also make sure that we had learned our lessons so that we could not only repeat them on a test, repeat them in class, but so that we could teach them to the children that we would one day have, and not just those children, but to our grandchildren as well. I wonder if that's why Jesus, if one of the influences on Jesus was that he would train disciples so they could train others. I wonder if that's part of the influence of Jesus teaching his disciples to teach others. I wonder if we've missed that in church. And the truth is, we have. So God help us in this place. Follow his instructions, observe them carefully, and make sure we do those things to receive the benefit of his promise, to not forget, so that we can teach our children and our grandchildren, so they in turn can teach their children and their grandchildren.